This is Nick Hauptman from Terra Magazine. I'm in the office of Dr. Stuart Trost in the Department of Nutrition and Exercise Sciences here at Oregon State University. Dr. Trost is one of the leaders in the world in the study of exercise and as it relates to this rising epidemic of the childhood obesity. So Stuart, thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Perhaps you could tell us why it's important to measure activity levels as they relate to the obesity.
Sure, Nick. The childhood obesity often comes from an energy imbalance. So how much exercise you do, how much energy you expend, versus how much energy you take in, how much you eat. And we really need to quantify those parameters. So to measure physical activity, we really need to know how much energy expenditure children are doing. And that is very difficult. We can't measure it in a number of boxes. We can't run a test in the lab for exercise. So we have to measure it in different ways. We also need to know that the programs that we're doing to promote physical activity do indeed work. So are they making a difference? Are kids getting more active? Are they burning more calories? If we don't have any way to measure that, we can't tell if our programs or our policies are working.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the contributions that you and your research team have made to this area?
Right. We've done a lot of work in the field of what we call objective measures of physical activity. When you ask a six-year-old to recall what they did in the previous week, we don't get a lot of good information, as you could imagine. So we have worked with devices that people can wear very easily on their bodies to record the amount of movement they do. And so these are called accelerometers or motion sensors. And our work has been really to develop the equations or the sort of software that takes this motion and predicts how many calories kids burn or how many minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity. And the challenge has been to accommodate the fact that kids grow and that all their energy expenditure is affected by growth and maturation, and so we have to take that into consideration. So our primary contribution is developing equations to use accelerometry data to predict energy expenditure and being able to take into account the fact that kids grow and mature and how that influences physical activity.
Okay. It must be fun working with children and especially equipping them with these devices. How do they respond when you come up and say, let's strap this on and see how it works?
Well, they're generally pretty excited. They're fairly small. They don't prevent you from doing what you're doing. They're not like the Walkman from the 1980s or whatever.
Old technology.
Yeah. So kids are so used to technology these days that it's not considered to be a strange thing to be wearing a monitoring device. Kids usually try to do something and do some movement, but we've designed these devices so they provide no feedback, and after a while, very short time, they lose interest and just wear them.
And what have you found in having the data from these experiments? Are you finding that children are moving more or less than you might have expected?
Well, the good example of the accelerometry telling us how much kids move is our preschool studies in kids in 3 to 5 years of age. We constantly think that kids this age are very, very active. They drain our energy just keeping up with them. But in fact, when we put them on these devices on kids, we find that they actually don't do a lot of activity that we would consider sort of moderate to vigorous in intensity. And so we found that kids spend, maybe out of every hour of the day, maybe less than 10 minutes a day of doing it, 10 minutes per hour of doing activity. So that was sort of surprising, that our perception is that kids are constantly moving and very active, but in fact the objective evidence says that the kids aren't doing that much activity at all.
Do you see a trend in those numbers? Are kids more or less active today than they were 10 years ago?
There's good signs that activity levels have declined. There's some evidence just looking at time use surveys and transportation to school, like in terms of the number of kids who walk or bike to school has dramatically declined over the last three decades. The major surveillance systems that, say, the Centers for Disease Control have shown, there's a fairly flat line trend in that there's about 30% of kids who meet current guidelines for physical activity of 60 minutes. So that seems to be fairly flat. But we've only been doing the accelerometry types of data collections for maybe a decade, and we've only done one or two studies in national surveys. So we don't know yet how much activity with the trends in time, but there's certainly a substantial amount of sort of evidence to really suggest that our activity levels have declined, but certainly our sedentary activity has increased when you think of all the screen time and all the electronic media distractions that just weren't around 2 decades ago.
Now, you mentioned earlier that about 30% of children today meet the guidelines for activity. Mm-hmm. That means 70% do not. Right. Are those 70% are therefore at increased risk of developing diabetes as adults, mm-hmm. or cardiovascular problems in the future?
Well, certainly, you know, it's a physical activity is an important contributor to the obesity equation. So given a level of diet, if you are physically inactive, your risk for obesity increases dramatically. So, and, you know, exercise is also has an important protective role for diseases like diabetes, because they affect directly sort of muscle physiology, et cetera. So these kids are at risk, and particularly if they don't develop the interests and the, you know, the necessary sort of skills, perhaps, you know, both behavioral skills in terms of planning and enjoying activities, setting goals, or even being able to play different types of sports and activities. If they aren't developed, well, then as an adult, they may be much less likely to become physically active, and from there, it's a slippery slope towards, you know, the development of these sort of chronic diseases.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're working with home-based child care centers, mm-hmm. and are you working with schools as well, or other organizations that work with children?
We try to work in just about every community setting where kids are. Our goal here is sort of prevention of childhood obesity, so we want to work on programs and policies that affect the vast majority of kids. So we do work in schools, in child care centers, family child care homes, churches, places of worship, anywhere we can find the kids. Where our current research is really focused in the early childhood area. They're in the area that I think lags behind what we know we can do in schools. So we've done a lot of work developing good evidence-based physical education programs, after-school programs, in-class physical activity programs. So in the schools, I think we have good information about what we can do. It's just an adoption issue, whether those schools choose to adopt these innovative evidence-based approaches. In family childcare homes and other childcare settings, we're sort of starting from scratch there, and they haven't been previously looked at. And, you know, and there's a lot of evidence about, you know, lots of television use, mm-hmm. keeping kids occupied. So we're taking on that challenge.
Okay. Well, those are the questions I had for you. Okay. Anything else you'd like to share with our audience this morning?
No.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Trost. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Thanks.